Live from the podcast studio, this is From Long Distance to Marriage with Rich and Andrea. We're a once long distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and are now happily married.
We talk long distance, marriage and relationships.
Hi and welcome to episode 25 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we're going to be talking about why we don't believe mystery is necessary in relationships. And we'll get to a little bit more about that first, but we have a couple admin messages first. You might remember, if you follow our Instagram page, I think it was last month, we did a shout out to a really great online shop called Long Distance Love Co. And this is run by a girl called McKenna. And basically all of the cards that she sells go to fund her long distance relationship, so she and her partner can see each other a little bit more easily. She got in touch with us again with a really important message, and Rich is going to tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so basically we put a story up on Instagram yesterday that you may or may not have seen, which is an infographic that she's made. So essentially what she's currently working on is she's collaborating with, or she's supporting the organisation called Girls Not Brides, which is... Well, the message she sent is that this organisation works in over 70 countries to end child marriage. So if you look at the infographic on that we've shared on our story, our Instagram handle is Mr. and Mrs. Distance, if anyone doesn't know. But you can see some of the pretty horrifying statistics about child marriage. And as she said, it's something that we don't really talk about much anymore. We kind of think it's not something that goes on, or we bury it, I suppose. So it's something that currently... There are 60 million girls around the world in child marriages. And what she's done with this organisation is, as you mentioned, her shop. For the month through April 30th, everything that she sells is going to go towards supporting this charity. So anyone listening to this can get 20% off some of the cards that she's selling if you use the code GNB0419. So that's GNB for Girls Not Brides, 0419. Spend $10 or more and you get 20% off using that code, and everything goes towards the charity through the month of April. So if everyone checks that out, it's for a good cause.
Yeah, and we'll put the details for that in the description for this episode as well. And because probably by the time this episode airs, the infographic will be gone from our stories, so we'll share that again in our stories for the next couple days, so you can go and see some of those really upsetting and eye-opening statistics about that.
So her page, again, for anyone who didn't catch it, is Long Distance Love Co. It's all one word on Instagram. And if you follow us, Mr. and Mrs. Distance on Instagram, we'll link through to it. It's on our story. So that's the admin out of the way.
Yes. We just saw a really good movie.
We did. Well, I liked it more than you did.
I liked it, but I don't want to give anything away.
So the movie was Us.
Yeah, it's by the same guy who did Get Out, which is really high up on our list. You guys... probably know that we love horror films. We've talked about it. We talked about our horror challenge.
If you go to our website, it's one of the first blog posts that we did was about this horror challenge that we did back in 2015. So we're overdue another one. But what we did was every night for the month of October, we watched a different horror film.
It was exhausting.
We missed one or two, but I think we did about...
I missed one, you missed two.
Yeah, so I did 29. You did... So yeah, check out... we can put it in the show notes for this episode, yeah, the link through, but yeah, there's a blog on there with we basically explain what we did and how it affected our mental health.
not really our mental health, but our mental, like, just our state of mind in terms of how...
And anxiety levels and...
Not really even that, just like...
Yeah, it was that.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, so we went to see this film.
Yeah, we saw Us, and it was really, really good, really, really original, really unusual. And, like, I just couldn't stop, like, whispering to Rich. It was so weird, but I'm so into it.
Well, you know what I got about it, though, was... So we've seen a lot of horror films. Mm. We always know what's going to happen next.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
we had no idea.
The camera moves there, someone's going to be over the shoulder. If someone opens a fridge door, when they close it, there's going to be someone standing there. Like, we're used to all the
tricks.
The tricks and the sort of tired tropes, I suppose.
Tropes?
Yeah. You know.
Is that a word?
That's a word.
What's it mean? Tropes? You're just making stuff up now.
No, people can Google it. But, you know, so we know generally if something's predictable, we can spot it.
Yeah.
I thought of this, it was just really rich. And I was just gripped. I know in a lot of the times we go to cinema, I get a little bit bored. I start looking at my watch, looking around. I'm not one of those annoying assholes who gets on the phone. But I can just be a bit, ugh. and then it picks up again. I didn't feel like there was a slump in this film.
Yeah, we just
didn't know what was going to happen.
We had no idea what to expect. And it's one of those great movies where, like, you know what's going on, but at the same time, you have no idea what's going on. So you understand enough that you're interested, but you're also like, oh my God, what is happening? Where is this going to go? But there was an aspect of it that left me feeling a bit like, oh, I didn't need that. It was great without it. But go see it, form your own opinion, and let us know if you like
it. And for anyone who doesn't love horror, like, it's not something you need to be thinking, oh, well, you know, it's going to be scary. Or I didn't think it was jumpy. I didn't think... It just sort thriller. Of keeps you on the edge of your seat. It's a little bit...
it's more of a thriller, I'd say.
Yeah, I would. It's just a very gripping... it's not overly gory, not overly scary.
No, but it actually had a fair amount of comedy in it as well.
Yeah, I think if anyone has seen Get Out, it's along those lines in terms of the tone.
Yeah, and the kind of... rating, if you will, in terms of like how the gore and like that kind of stuff. Yeah. It's probably more in this than there was in Get Out.
So watch it and then let us know you're grateful for the recommendation.
Yes. And we also saw a preview for a movie that I'm really excited about called Ma. And it's looks really good. It's got Octavia Spencer, who is in a lot of my favorite movies, actually. I really like her. She was in...
If you've seen The Help, she's the lady that shits in the pie.
Yeah, she puts her poo in the pie. She plays Minnie, and then she was in Hidden Figures, which is a film that we both really love. Anyways, I haven't seen a movie with her in it that I haven't thoroughly enjoyed. And yeah, this one looks pretty, again, like a thriller kind of psycho character.
And 3 for 3 on enjoying current horror things, Santa Clarita Diet's just done.
Oh my God, we love Santa Clarita Diet, and it's one of those shows that you either love or you completely hate. I think a lot of people that I know hate it.
Well, because when... you first suggested watch this, I thought, oh, I do like horror and I like zombie stuff, but I kind of feel at the moment zombies are being really overdone. I feel like The Walking Dead's been like, it inspired everyone to say, let's do zombies. And I thought, oh, you know, now Netflix did. But it's fucking
not,
brilliant.
It's not zombie. It is, but it's not normal.
Well, I think, I think that's the key. And I think what put me off is to think, okay, undead, quote unquote.
Well, what happened?
But it's not zombies as such. And it's just really fresh, like it's funny.
It's hilarious.
And it's basically what would happen if there was a zombie in a suburban neighbourhood who...
still acted like a normal human. It looks like a normal human.
Yeah.
But what happened was, it was one of these shows, I think my best friend had told me about it back home, and I was like, oh, that sounds funny. I loved you very much.
You can't always trust her recommendations. You're going to be like, oh, she's recommended it, it's going to be good. It's like, oh, it could be good, it could be awful.
I typically like stuff that she recommends. You don't always. But it was something that, like, you were working on a project, you were doing some writing or something, and so I thought, oh, I'm going to start this. And you kind of came in the room, like, halfway through, and you thought, what is this? What are you watching?
Because you mentioned it, and I thought, it kind of sounds a bit...
You said you weren't interested, and then you kind of walked in, and you're like, can we start this episode again? Like, I'd really like to watch this. And yeah, we love that. There's a lot of good TV coming back. Good Girls is coming back, which you didn't watch with me, but it's like Breaking Bad for women, essentially, even though I love Breaking Bad. And something else, too. I can't remember what.
So, yeah, basically, Santa Clarita Diet's on Netflix. I think in the US, is it on TV?
I think it's on Netflix as well, in the US. There's lots to watch.
Well, let's give something that's not horror so people don't start to worry.
Cool, Good Girls, I really enjoyed.
I don't know anything about Good Girls. What else have we been watching? I thought we've been watching something else. We did watch that Behind the Curve documentary, which we really enjoyed. Oh, we've been watching climbing stuff.
Oh, yes, we watched.
So, also on Netflix was... The Dawn Wall.
Or if you speak American, the Dawn Wall.
Yeah, okay.
Dawn Wall.
So, most people, I'm assuming, won't know what Yosemite is, but we'll just say he climbs. This guy is, I guess, one of the best climbers in the world. And there was this mountain in a national park in America that was, everyone agreed, was unclimbable. It was too smooth.
It was a certain face of the mountain. People climbed other routes.
The wall was unclimbable.
Yeah, that part of the wall.
And so
for people who do know, it's El Capitan in Yosemite.
Yeah. So,
Tommy Caldwell.
Yeah, and he basically, the documentary is about his journey to climb this.
Obsession with it.
And yeah, we're not climbers. We're not into climbing. So this is, I'd say, it transcends the topic. But then we followed it up with... That's on Netflix, but then the one we followed up with isn't. We had to pay for this on our demand.
Yeah,
service,
we had to get on demand. Yeah, but I think my brother said if you're in America, it's on Hulu.
Okay. But then the second we watched was Free Solo. So I wouldn't be climbing any mountains with ropes and harnesses and stuff. Like, that's not my bag. This guy's looked at this mountain and gone, yeah, I'm going to do that without any safety features.
And it's the same mountain that the guy in the other documentary climbed, but a different route that is... Well, I guess in terms of rock climbing, it's an easier route.
So, I mean, what was crazy about that, though, was... So, during this documentary, you're watching him doing practice routes where he was harnessed in and he's done it. And he's just falling down a lot. And he gets this one bit and he's like, yeah, I've not yet done this successfully. Oh, well, I'll do it without the ropes and hope for the best.
It's interesting because, like, this guy, while he's obviously super talented and you know, the top climber in the world, he's not quite normal.
Well, yeah, I mean, with all due respect, but he went for the brain scan and they, what's it called? The adrenal?
I can't remember, but there's a certain part in your brain which responds to fear. And
or all tells you to be scared.
Yeah, all of us have that. And I guess all of us, you know, have different levels of that. Like, everyone has pain tolerance, everyone has fear tolerance. And his just, like, wasn't stimulated in the normal way.
His wasn't triggered by things that would trigger everyone else. So we'd look at a mountain and go, yeah, fuck that. And he went, oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Anyways, those were both really good. But let's get on to...
I suppose they are in the horror genre, because, I mean, that would scare the crap out of me.
It's not horror, it's a documentary. The nice thing about that is sometimes documentaries can be annoying because it's all reenactments and this stuff, but...
And the dramatic voice.
Yeah, this was very much...
not like that.
No, they're actually documenting them doing these things as they're doing it and as they're preparing. So it was just really cool.
Yeah, watch both.
Yeah. And then it was funny because I'd forgotten...
If you had to choose, I'd say go for The Dawn War.
I preferred that one as a movie, I think. The funny thing about it was I had forgotten that with my work... So we watched both of those movies last week and then had forgotten that my office was doing an activity, like a team activity, and it was like an indoor climbing thing. And thought, oh, I'm going to be like all prepared for this. And it really, I mean, obviously that guy climbing that mountain with no ropes, even though you know that he survives because he's done interviews after it, you can't help but think, like, while he's actually doing it, like, oh my God, he has no ropes. He has no ropes. Like,
because basically the way it's done is there are people who are abseiling the route or they're rappelling on the route. So you've got a bird's eye view of him. So when there's a camera angle looking at him on his level or from below, you kind of think, you don't think much of it. Then when you see a view from above him and you see how high he is, and you think, my God, like... And then, but what gets me about it was, yeah, you know he survives, but there are certain shots where you see how precarious it is. So he puts his hand into these cracks and there's cobwebs in there and there's birds flying pretty close. And it only takes, like, a spider to, like, bite him or startle
him. Or surprise him,
or
yeah.
A bird to fly too close. Or a dizzy spell or a leg cramp or the sudden need to have diarrhea. Like, anything can happen suddenly and then you think... There's nothing, and being a documentary, it's going to be on film.
Yeah, and
so the poor people filming.
Okay,
that.
Well, let's not ruin it, like the whole thing for everyone.
They know he's being filmed. Well, yeah. They know he's survived.
All I was going to say was that trying to climb, like, I don't know, 15-foot walls in an indoor center with all the safety things
and rubber
necessary.
Mats.
Yeah, I was like, fuck, this is hard. Like, obviously, I'm in terrible shape, and they're in fantastic rock climber man shape. But to put it in perspective, like, it's fucking hard. Anyways, as I said, I don't know, ages ago, this week we're talking about mystery in relationships. And I guess there's a saying, you know, keep a little mystery in your relationship. And I think what people mean is you don't need to know everything about the other person in terms of bodily functions, the less glamorous sides of your relationship. Anything else you want to add? Anything that you think relates back to that?
Well, I mean, I think people know what we're talking about, and I think there are degrees of it, and I think this doesn't mean when you're starting off dating, but, you know, there are some people who... Did I read it on Twitter recently? There was someone, like, they'd been married 15 years, and he heard his wife fart in her sleep for the first time. And then when he told her, she was like, oh, that must be the dog. Like, then you get those people who, like, the women who... wake up really early so they can do their hair and put their makeup on so their partner never sees them in their natural state.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, that's fine in dating stage.
The early days.
But then you get people who are married, and I was talking to someone at work quite recently who, I mean, they're older than us. They're not married, but they've been together a long time. You know, they have kids. And I can't remember how we got onto the conversation, but basically, like, they would never let each other see each other pee. You know, and I kind of think, well, Christ, you've been, like, together a long time. So there are degrees of mystery. There are some people who just open up everything. There are some people who, like, we've never locked a door, you know.
I think in the very beginning.
I don't mean like early days, but like certainly once I'd live in together and marriage. Yeah, when you first visited and your guests and we're staying in each other's parents' houses. And I'm kind of moving beyond the initial stage of relationship, but certainly since we've lived alone, we've never, if one of us having a bath or a shower or you're going to the toilet or whatever, the doors, if it's not open, it's certainly unlocked. We've always just sort of taken the actions that we behave almost like one person.
Yeah, and I think for me in particular, and I'm going to admit something that people might find is TMI, but I suffer from a very common stomach and intestinal situation, IBS, which means that sometimes things happen and, you know, I have to rush off or I might be indisposed for a long time. And it's something that you can't really hide. And you knew about it before we got together. I told you, like, I have this condition. It doesn't stop me from living my life or anything, but I have flare-ups from time to time. And I think just thinking about that, like, I couldn't be in a relationship where I had to skirt around that or have to hide, like, what I was doing. I mean, people aren't stupid. They're going to know what you're doing. If you share a home and a bathroom, they're going to know what was going on. Like, I just can't imagine how much pressure that would put on me. Like, it causes me enough anxiety as it is. Like, if I'm at work, sometimes I have flare-ups and I'm worried if people are going to notice that I've been away from my desk for a while or, you know, that I'm acting puny and not feeling well. Like, it causes me stress being that way. I can't then imagine coming home and having to keep up an act of, oh, I'm fine, I had to go do this or I had to go do that.
Like, girls don't poop.
Yeah, I can tell you we fucking do. But you know, it would just add so much more drama and, like, organizing and that to my life. And that's just something I can't do. So I think that has been a big factor, for me at least, and why there's no mystery in our relationship.
But I sent you, when you first came over, like, this is your first trip, when you were supposed to be staying for the 2 weeks, and I said to you, before you go, I can't remember the exact words, but basically, like, I would be in the bathroom with you while you were going to the bathroom.
And we did.
Yeah, yeah, and, like, because I've never been remotely sort of phased.
Neither have I.
By that. And, yes, okay, that you have to reach a comfort level.
Yes.
So there's the abstract of it where, like, oh, yeah, in principle, I'm not opposed to that. And then there's, okay, this is actually happening and you have to kind of get used to it. But on the flip side, I do understand why some people want to keep mystery. You know, if you're someone that's going to be where you think it might reduce the level of attractiveness you have to that person.
Well,
I would say don't be so shallow, but,
well, the other person shouldn't let that affect their attractiveness to you.
That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That person. If you're feeling like you're going to be less attracted to that person.
Okay, sorry.
Then
obviously less attractive.
Maybe, you know, they're not doing anything you're not doing. And there are some things you can't control. Like, if, you know, if your stomach's rumbling or you're making gargling noises, you know, then
even if nothing's wrong, your stomach just does that.
No, that's what I mean. You know, yeah, like that. Yeah, be more mature about it, I suppose. But yeah, for us, I think, like I said, we've always taken the view of we act like one person. It's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom, the toilet, whatever. Or I think, to me, like, being a good partner is, like you said, you've got IBS and stuff, and that sometimes means I've got to be supportive of that.
Yeah. And sometimes means 10 o'clock at night runs to the store to get me crackers and ginger ale. You know, yeah, it sometimes means, you know.
But that's not so much mystery. That's,
well, no, but
that's just being helpful.
But if I couldn't admit that to you, what was going on or what was wrong with me, I couldn't ask you to go get it for me.
I mean, we certainly know people very close to us who would stay at their partner's house and refuse to go to the bathroom
And don't get me wrong, like, it did take us a while to get around to this. So, you know, I came and visited for a month, and the first, like, weekend that I was, you know, visiting and staying with Rich's family, I wouldn't do anything other than a wee unless we were out in public. So, like, I could go into a restaurant or,
and you'd run the tap.
Yeah, and it was nerve-wracking. And then, you know, after a few days, I'd start going. And then I remember, like, you were in the TV room and your mom and stepdad were at work. So just us in the house. And the downstairs bathroom was right off the kitchen. And I was said, like, oh, I need to use the bathroom. And so I left the TV room. And then you must have gone wanted to go in the kitchen to get a drink or something. And you walked by and you said, I can hear what you're doing in there. Like, what?
And that mortified
you. I did. It really embarrassed me because that was the new, excuse me, sorry, the new stages for us. And I didn't want you to know that. And I remember even that first summer you did say like, oh yeah, before you go, I want to be in the bathroom when you're having a wee. So like, yeah, you'd come in and brush your teeth after a couple weeks. And that was fine. But you also said to me, I want you to be comfortable enough around me that you will fart in front of me.
Yeah.
That did not, that did not happen. You know, I would try and leave the room or make sure you were asleep or something. Again, I have IBS. I'm a gassy girl. What do you want from me? But yeah, I tried to hide it as much as I could. But it was when, so we'd been together for a month. I went back home in like end of July and then came back home and or came back to England in December for Christmas. And I remember you'd had like a spat with a family member, your sister or your mom or something, and you were smoking at the time and you went outside and you were on the back porch having a cigarette and you were just like really like annoyed and like fed up. And I was out there and I was like, do you want me to cheer you up? And you're like, yeah, how? And I let the tiniest little lady like...
Yeah, it was a girly
fart. It was
fart.
a little put fart out. And it made you laugh and it made you smile and it made you... It wasn't that like you were desperate to hear what it sounded like. That you, it was just that you wanted that level of intimacy and me being that comfortable around you that I could do something like that.
Yeah, and
that's the emotion that you wanted.
That's sort of my psychology of it is... yeah, wanting you to feel... comfortable and open, because otherwise like I want a relationship and a marriage to feel different to friendships,
yeah,
you know. And I think that's one of the ways that it is. You wouldn't expect the women at work to act that way.
Mm-mm, no, and you don't want to
no, but so I suppose for me it's kind of like, well, how comfortable are you?
Yeah, and for me, when you're in a deep relationship, you know, past the early stages, this person should be your home. And how do you act, girls, when you go home? The first thing you do is throw your hair in a messy bun, take off your bra, you get comfy. And sometimes that means letting out wind. And that should be who that person is to you.
Because you can't always... I'm talking more to women, but, you know, men as well, in a different way. But you can't be on all the time.
Mm-mm.
So, you know, girls can't be... I've got to have my makeup on perfect, my hair's got to be done, I've got to look as if I'm going on a date. And men... You know, you're not going to be wearing your best clothes all the time. But, you know, generally speaking, ongoing maintenance is good. You know, don't, you know, try to keep yourself in shape if possible or be, you know, men. You know, you wouldn't act around your wife and girlfriend the way you act around your guy friends on a night out. You know, you do have to be mindful of things. But generally, yeah, you want to... You want to be open.
And be yourself.
But this isn't to say, I think we need to be clear that if you're not comfortable with things, don't feel like you have to. Don't anyone listen to this and then saying, oh my God, this is the only way to... This isn't the only way to have a healthy
marriage. Oh no.
There are many
just,
couples where
aspect.
The men don't want to see it and the women don't want to act it and vice versa. And if you'd rather lock the bathroom door, if you'd rather not see the worst of each other, then... But to me, like... What I was going to say is then if you feel that way, then don't do it. But to me, I'd really struggle to think, how am I going to keep this charade up for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years? At some point, you're going to fart. At some point, you're going to...
You're going to be ill. You're going to shit your pants.
Well, and that's the thing, like, you know, even just having a cold, like, there's snot and there's snorting and coughing and noises, you know,
lovely,
like...
thanks.
You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And,
but I feel like...
There's the human body is a... noisy, disgusting, stinky, mucusy machine.
Yeah.
And you can't expect... When you're in the relationship stages where you see each other for a few hours and you may have a you know, sleeping together so you're overnight, there are short, controlled periods of time where you do have control over those things. I'm not feeling well, I won't see you.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you start living together, like, all bets are off, and if you're living together and you're not well and you've got a cold or you're mucusy and... And even if you're not mucusy, you're going to be laying on the couch with no energy in your dressing gown. Just
looking like shit.
Feeling
yeah.
pathetic. You're not made up to the nines. And if you have a stomach illness, then yeah, you're going to be in the bathroom. You're going to be weak. And what are you going to do? So you've got to go and stay in a hotel for 3 days till I feel better? Like, no, at some point, I imagine you're gonna the mask is gonna slip.
Yeah, and also, like, for me with that, it's not just the mask slipping, it's also being prepared to be that way around someone. So, you know, if you look awful because you're ill, or, you know, you have a really bad stomach bug and you can't get out of the toilet and they need to be bringing you drinks, you know, like, there's going to be times. But if you've already glimpsed at least a little bit of that, been in
then
the room...
Then it's not a shock.
Yeah, like, even if, okay, you don't have to go in the room when they're, you know, dropping a deuce in the toilet. But, you know, if they're in the room when you're having a wee, you know, it's a, at least there's a little bit of, okay, this isn't completely unfamiliar territory for your partner and for you. Like, okay, they've seen me somewhat compromised before. Like, it's not the end of the world. The other thing is, if you're going to have a baby together someday...
You're going to see her shit herself on the table.
That, and screaming, crying, looking awful, having been awake for 2 days trying to push a basketball out their hoo-ha. Like,
well, yeah, that's an important point as well. Like, so, we're talking bodily functions, but I think that's... I think the worst sides of us are emotional.
Mm.
Like, you know, when you're just so angry. Like, we've had arguments where we're just spiteful.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's far worse. It's worse to see, and it's potentially more damaging than... What is more damaging than...
Hearing someone fart.
Or smelling the bathroom when someone's been in the, you know. So, and yet I don't think people think about that. Like, arguments are normal when they're routine, and you can talk about them and with other people. And we think, actually, really, when you boil it down, in every single way, that's worse for your relationship than... hearing someone be a human being.
Yeah.
But on the body functions thing, like, men and women agree, farts are funny.
Oh, yeah.
They're still fucking funny with your husband and your wife.
Oh, my God.
It's not like... Like, you fart, I think it's fucking hilarious.
Same.
It's not like...
What I don't need is the announcement after, when I've clearly heard that you farted, but you go, I farted. It's like, yeah, you did. I heard. I was right here.
Yeah, but like...
It's so funny and it makes you laugh.
Some, but there are people who... I don't know, like, why... I can't get the words out. Like, you just think, oh yeah, farts are funny, I'll fart with my friends and whatever, but... Oh, not with you. The person I've chosen to share my life with.
Can I tell you the time about when there was that spot on your jeans?
I don't know. I don't know what this story is. Oh, yeah.
So one time we were, like, sitting on the sofa... having a snuggle. And for some reason, Rich's jeans are just, like, always dirty, like, around the pockets. He just wipes, you know, he gets a bit of dust or he gets a bit of food,
or
like...
Or Pog just wipes his ass down.
No, he doesn't wipe his ass, but, you know. He doesn't go out in them. I'm saying, like, at the end of the day, like, you know, his jeans...
Before they need changing, there's little...
At the end of the day, you know, like, there's just little marks, like, around the top of the thighs where you would naturally kind of wipe your hands if you get something on them. And we were sitting there, like, watching TV, and I kind of scooted over, you know, up close to him. And we were having a little snuggle, and I noticed a spot on his jeans, and it looked like chocolate. And so I started, like, going, what's that? And I picked at it. I didn't even say anything. I just started picking at it, because I thought you had chocolate in your jeans. And he goes, that's earwax. And what did you think my reaction was going to be?
I kind of thought you'd be a girl about it. I'm like, oh, that's gross, but you pissed yourself.
I just started cracking up.
You're like, oh, that's so you.
It just made me laugh so hard, because, like, here I am, like...
Well, the reason is there, for anyone who's thinking I'm disgusting, I just, like, scratched my ear. And then I didn't have anything to do with it, and I thought, these jeans are going to be washed at the end of the day anyway. Yeah. So that's the best place for it.
He doesn't just walk around with, like, bodily fluids on his jeans.
No.
Typically. But, yeah, I mean, that was something... And you know what? If that had happened earlier on, I probably would have been grossed out, but also you probably wouldn't have done that earlier on, because you'd have been like, oh, I don't want her to see.
I also do it high enough up that my t-shirt would cover it.
Yeah, but we were sitting down.
Yeah.
And it cracked me up. Yeah, like I said, it was so him. Like, that's just what he's like. Like, and what was the point? Can you imagine? I can wash my hands. It wasn't like it was poo or anything. But, yeah, and, like... Something else. So, yeah,
you have to laugh about these things.
You do. And because we are human and we are in this together as a couple. And, you know, I think it can be even harder when you're long distance, because you do have longer periods of being apart, and then being together is this, like, thing you hype up in this magical time. And
you almost elevate them beyond being a person.
Yeah. And so it can be really like, oh, I have to be perfect because he gets
this
window. Because
the prince in Disney films never farts.
Well, no, but it's, you know, they have this window of time with me, and I want to leave them with the best impression, which we totally get.
Yeah.
And we were like that as well. And it wasn't until, you know, we were together for much longer periods of time that, you know, we were more comfortable doing things like that around each other. So we get how scary that is, but...
And then also, like, if we can just sort of go into sex territory for a second, like, not many people have qualms about that, and yet you're...
What do you mean?
Well, I'll get to it, but, like, you know, so we're saying, oh, we won't fart around each other, don't want them knowing I'll go to the bathroom, I don't want them knowing I have earwax, and whatever... But yeah, most people are very comfortable to have sex immediately, and then that means you're naked around each other, so you're very vulnerable. There's, you know, when you're at the climax, you're making
noises and
faces that are out of your control, that aren't what you're doing. You may queef. But yeah, that's what I was going to say was, you know, there are fluids involved in that, and if you're happy coming on someone, you know, and
another whatever, way to put that.
But... Whoever thinks, like, oh, I don't want to do that, yeah, you're happy.
Yeah, I mean...
So you'll blow a load on her chest, and then you're like, oh, I can't fight him.
Or, you know, he'll come in you, and then you've got to, like, squeeze your legs together and dash to the toilet to, you know, not drip everywhere, and that's more embarrassing. I mean, that's more degrading and more embarrassing than, oh, I'm a human, and I do poop sometimes. Like, you know, and the other thing, so yeah, well, you know, talking about that, but yeah, like, you touched on makeup and stuff, and I remember one thing that made you really happy... was the first day that I got to England, the first time I met you. Obviously, I've been traveling for like 16 hours, including layovers, and I just wanted a shower more than anything in the world. By the time we got to your house, it was probably like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I got unpacked, got settled in, took a shower. By then it was probably 3 or 4. Last thing I wanted to do was put my makeup on just for the afternoon. So I just kind of like...
I like that you could be casual.
I just, yeah, I put on like my comfy clothes. I came out of the bathroom, obviously like... because we were staying with, well, at the time, Rich lived with his mom and stepdad. So, of course, they lived there. They were there. So I took all my clothes and my deodorant and everything into the bathroom so that I wouldn't have to, like, traipse across the house in a towel or anything. And I came out and came into your room. And, yeah, I was in, like, a really comfy, cute, but just a t-shirt and jeans, barefoot. And my hair was, like, kind of wet. And I was fresh-faced, you know, no makeup. And you said to me right away, like, oh, you're not wearing makeup.
Well, yeah, because I grew up... My dad obviously lived at home, but my mum and sister, yeah, you know, around the house, they would be quite happy to slob out. Their own house, but they would never go out. Like, even if it's we're staying at a hotel, they wouldn't even go for breakfast without getting all the makeup on. And they weren't someone who's like, oh, you know, a quick bit of foundation and I'm ready to go. This was like a fucking full... I mean, it felt like 3 hours. I'm assuming it wasn't. It was probably about... I wasn't even a teenager. Like, this was from young age. Young adult. You know, yeah, like, every day it was... I imagine it was... If everybody's like, can we go out? Yeah, we're going to go. Oh, I've just got to do my makeup. They were the most devastating words. It was like, oh, that's an hour. What am I going to do? But this was before cable TV, before, like, before phones existed, so you could just play a game. Now I just play a game for a bit, but, like... Oh, I had to watch 4 channels on TV and they were all shit. You know, so it was horrible. So yeah, having this woman who I'm about to, gonna marry, you're like,
well, you didn't
I'm
know quite that. Happy
to, no, but I did marry.
You married me?
I did, yeah.
Hot damn.
But you know, so this, have this woman who we were in a relationship together and then it's...
Day one.
Oh, you're quite comfortable to not put makeup on. Oh, you don't mind going to the shops just like that. You know... That was great.
Yeah, I mean...
Because I think men don't get it. We know you like to look nice and put makeup on, but men can say, I've just put my jeans on and I'm ready to go.
It's so much easier for you. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, if we're going to go out shopping for the day or, like, when we went to the movies, like, I prefer to have...
And I like that you put makeup on, but you're minimalist anyway.
Yeah, I'm very natural in my makeup. I want my skin tone to look even and my eyes to stand out. These
women who... I don't think this is as prevalent. I haven't seen it as much in America, but there are parts of England in particular where...
Essex.
Women look like they've just gone through, like, I don't know, like an orange machine, you know, and then,
an orange machine.
If you're putting your makeup on, you're coming out looking just, yeah, like Donald Trump. Not many men are... I don't understand the appeal of it, personally. You know, I think with makeup, less is more.
Yeah, a lot of men do.
You do a little bit of eye makeup and...
I do foundation and powder just to make my... But not much, just enough to make my skin tone look even.
You enhance, I think.
Yeah, I just...
Rather than disguise.
Correct a bit.
Yeah.
But I've always been that
but
way.
But to each their own, you know, if you are orange and men are going for it, then you do you. But I like that you will do makeup and, you know, you make the effort to look nice, but I like that you don't feel the need to always do that. It's... You do the best of both worlds.
Yeah, like if we wake up and decide on a whim, oh, let's go out to breakfast. I'm like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, we go out for breakfast.
Let me brush my hair and brush my teeth and...
It's a 5 minute, we're
both
ready to go.
Yeah, I need to get
go.
Dressed, that kind of thing.
No,
but then,
oh, I'll be ready in an hour.
But then if we come back home and we decide to do something else, like, okay, now I need to take a shower and wash my hair and get ready for the actual day. But no, I don't really care that much. I mean, obviously, like, for work every day, like, I do have, you know, a work routine, or well, just a day-to-day makeup routine, and I think everyone that wants to should. And, you know, we don't want anyone to feel like we're saying you need to be a certain way, but don't feel like you have to be perfect all the time, because it's going to get to a point.
Oh, and if you're with someone who expects that, then I'd say you're not with the right... This is something that I mentioned last week, that I've been reading things on Twitter that are just kind of sad. And this is another one, you know, there's apparently a lot of men who think women need to be feminine women all the time, and that means basically this fairly old-fashioned idea of what it is to be a lady. And personally, I like with the modern times that we were just discussing with you, like you can do that, but you don't feel like you have to always do that, and I don't think it's right for you to always do that, you know. And then they have these men like, I don't know, like I think they just want the women to stay locked up and always, from the minute they wake up to when they go to bed, they're looking perfect and hair nicely done, and they're wearing proper clothes and all this. And I just think that's just such bullshit. And I think if you want to do that, man or woman, if you want to look your best all the time, then that's fine, that's on you. But if you're with someone who says you always have to make the effort to be 100% your best, I'd probably reconsider that relationship.
Yeah, I mean, we're all human. We need times to be sloppy and... We need time in our sweatpants and, you know, just to be comfortable. And yeah, I think it takes time to get to that place, though. But it is really a liberating place to be. And just, you know, like, if I don't feel good or I don't do my hair and makeup, like, you're fine. And I know that,
well, if,
like,
you have a day off work and you want to just sit on the couch and, like, this is my day off, I'm resting, I'm like, oh, fuck, I've got to get ready because they want to see me looking really good.
Yeah, like, sometimes your skin needs a break, you know, or whatever. Your hair, you know, sometimes it's good to leave your hair and not wash it. And, you know, it's, you know,
or
you don't...
Or to wear trousers where your balls can be free.
Yeah, you know? Don't constrict your balls all the time.
And your tits can go free.
But it's like what you said, you know, we almost live as, like, one person. Obviously, we have our own minds and we do our own things, but that really reminded me of a time when... So it was the first year that I lived here, probably the first 6 months I lived here, and we were still living with Rich's mum and stepdad, and Rich's dad was on holiday, and so he said to us, like, oh, do you want to stay in my house, look after the cat, you'll have the whole house to yourself, like, you can get out from being under, you know, your mum's feet all the time, would you like to do that? We're like, oh yeah, that sounds great. And he lived in a beautiful little village, and, you know, we house sat and cat sat for like a week, I think. And it was lovely. And I just remember we went down to like this really old ancient pub. That's like, there's been a pub there since like 1200 something or 1300 something. And I just remember sitting across the table, the fires were lit. Like, it was a quiet night at the pub and we were having a really lovely dinner. And I just remember saying to you, like, you know, you've gone from being, maybe I didn't even say this. I think I wrote this in a diary. Maybe I didn't even say it to you at the time, but you know, Rich went in such a quick period of time from being the boy I'd never met, dreamt of meeting, to my long-distance boyfriend, to my fiancé. Like, literally, we were only engaged from April to September. We got married in September. So, in like, just this short span of time, he went from being everything and then to being my husband. And then I thought, like, husband, like, it's so weird to even think of him as, like, something, a separate entity from what I am. Like, no, that's, you're part of me. You're not just, like, a husband. It's really hard to put into words, and I don't know if that's making any sense, but, you know, it's like giving your soul a name. Like, it's just part of you, that's what it is. And it just seems so strange. And like, sometimes it's strange that you have, like, that your name's Rich, because you're just babe to me. You're my babe, you're my husband, you're my love. Like, how are you this person that other people, I don't know, it's strange. But It just made me think of that, and that might just sound like gibberish to everyone, but hopefully you can relate.
If you get it, you get it.
Yeah. And so, if that is how you feel, and like you feel like this person is a part of you, this person is your home, this person is your love, you shouldn't feel pressured to have to be always at your absolute very best. You know, there's going to be times when...
Well, this is all part of you, and you need to show who you are.
And there's also, you know, like if something's hurting you emotionally, something in your life, you might lose someone very close to you and be a sobbing, you know, wreck, and maybe you're an ugly crier and you don't want them to see you like that, but that's okay. You know, if they love you, you know, they're going to love all of you. And like, I'm not always a very pretty crier, but for like for years and even still, I'd start crying about something and it would totally turn you on.
Yeah. You I think like, that's like a male protection
You like
thing.
Being there for me. You like comforting me. You like taking care of me. I remember we were hugging and I was like, what's that? You're like, nothing. I'm like, is this turning you on? You're like, yeah. And, you know, it's okay. And if you're worried that you don't feel that yet, you're not there, you will get there. But be open with your partner. Like, oh, would it bother you if I were to break wind in front of you or if I were to burp in front of you?
Well, and even people, you know, like, I suppose at some, you know, masturbation's going to come up in conversation.
Oh, yeah, of course. Didn't touch that.
Obviously, we've done the phone sex episode, but you had a story from someone at work who's, partner, like, well, you worked with the woman and she went home and her boyfriend was clearly being interrupted. Yeah.
She didn't like see him, but he ran downstairs like acting all like, oh, you're home earlier, like what's happening, oh my god, like I wasn't expecting you. And I felt like, you guys have been together for years. And like a very very good friend of mine, she's been married to her husband for a couple, maybe a year or two longer than us, so almost 10 years. And like she like knows or thinks he does, but there's never been a conversation about the fact that he does masturbate. And like, that's fine. Like, you don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but
it's the air of like grossness and secrecy.
Yeah. I think if you have secrets around something, that makes it feel like it's something bad. Whether that's I'm sneaking off for a poo, or I have a spot on my skin that I hate and you've never ever seen it before, 'cause I put makeup on every time, you know. Secrets or your insecurity that causes secrets makes things feel like a much bigger deal than they actually are, when in reality the person probably doesn't really care that much. Especially, and you know, once you fall in love, I mean, very rarely does a relationship start if you're not attracted to someone. Obviously, you know, you might go, oh, I'll go on a date with this person, it's a blind date, but there's usually some form of attraction to start. And then as you're together longer, the person just starts getting more and more attracted to you because you know them and their lovely parts. And
well, you reach a point where you almost, like, it does still matter, but I think you reach a point where you're just you to that person.
It's
like, that's what you look like. And yeah, you're right, like, everything else sort of becomes more important.
Well, you as a whole package becomes more important. First, it's the looks, and then it's the sex.
Well, do you know, I read something really interesting a while ago. Someone I knew wrote an answer to a question online about basically how do people in their 70s, how are they still attracted to each other? And he wrote a really good answer that said, you know, it's not just... They see through the wrinkles and the saggy skin, and they see the things that other people don't see, like little quirks they've got, maybe a look they have. They see... the way you smile, that won't change, you know. Your mannerisms, I suppose, don't change. And that's what you see over the years. And that's what makes your heart sort of flutter a little bit. So when your looks do start to go, there are still physical attributes of you that are reminders.
And your personality and your memories and everything are all things that can attract you to people. But I know what you mean. Like, I have this thing, and I get it with not just you, like anyone I love, family, friends. Sometimes you'll glimpse someone and maybe they don't know you're watching them, and they just do something that is so, like, clearly and uniquely them, and you're just overcome with this, like, God, I just love that person so much. Like, I'll never forget it. I had a moment with you, and I think we were living with your mom and your stepdad, and you were outside mowing the lawn, and you just were, like, doing your thing, and you did an expression that was just so you, and I just thought, like, oh my God. You know, or like, I'll see my dad sitting in a certain way or a certain mannerism, just think, I'm so glad that man, you know, was the one that was my father, you know. And, you know, there's just so much more to who you are than, you know, how you're presented or what your bodily functions are. And that's what people love, and that's what they want, and that's what they want to see, and it doesn't matter so much.
I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Yeah.
So takeaways from this, if you're not currently this open, maybe have the conversation with your partner to say, you know, find out what they feel about it and push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit. I think everything good in life is just outside your comfort zone. And let us know how you get on. And take one of our film/documentary recommendations.
Yeah.
And see how you get on. Let us know how you get on. And don't forget about McKenna's Girls Not Brides support, Long Distance Love Co. on Instagram. Check out her page, check out our page, Mr. Mrs. Distance on Instagram. You can get all the details from her page, and we'll link through to her page. I think that's it.
One more thing.
Oh.
If you have any hilarious stories about the first time you did something embarrassing, yes, or, you know, a bodily function, or did just
you
queef, anything.
Did you fart?
Whatever.
Did you sneeze on them? Did you pop in each other's spot? This is something we've done, but you hear people like, I'd love to pop that spot. Like, have you done that?
Dr. Pimple Popper is, like, my favourite thing.
Yeah, let us know your stories. We won't... If we can... Maybe we'll do a poll and...
Yeah, we'll do something. That'd
be
fun.
We'll share the funniest. But yeah, let us know. We love gross stuff.
And we'd love to laugh.
We love to laugh. So, until next week...
Thanks, guys!